After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus.
I wonder what things in the world around you would make you exclaim, "Oh, wow!" How about a beautiful sunset? Or a snowy scene? What about these awesome northern lights? Or these incredible mountains? Might you say, "Oh, wow," when you see a tiny baby? Or a beautiful flower in your garden? There are so many things in our world that are beautiful, grand, or powerful, so much so that we cannot help but exclaim, "Oh, wow." Peter, James, and John, 3 of Jesus' disciples, experienced an "Oh, wow" moment. Jesus had taken them for a walk up a mountain, and while he was there, his appearance changed dramatically. The Bible tells us that Jesus' face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. The disciples saw Jesus in all of his glory, and it was a massive "Oh, wow" moment for them. Matthew introduces this story by saying it happened 6 days later than something else, and that something else was a turning point in the story of Jesus. The disciples and Jesus had travelled about 40, 50 miles north of Galilee to a place called Caesarea Philippi. There had been a conversation during which Peter and the other disciples recognised that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Yet this conversation ended with Jesus telling Peter off in front of the others, something he did a few times. Now it's a week later. Jesus takes Peter, James and John up onto this high mountain. This is probably Mount Hermon, a long walk from Caesarea Philippi. And there they see and hear amazing things. The appearance of Moses and Elijah would have been very significant, as they represent all the teachings of the law and the prophets. It's what we call the Old Testament, but back then the disciples would have simply known it as the Scriptures. Up until that point, although Jesus was doing wonderful things, the 3 disciples had seen Jesus as a man. Now, up that mountain, they saw Jesus as he truly was and is, the Son of God. And it was totally awesome. Not only did they see Jesus in his glory, but the disciples also heard Father God speaking to them from a bright cloud, telling them that Jesus was his Son and that they were to listen to him. Peter and the others caught a vision that God is beautiful and powerful and righteous. They experienced how truly awesome he is. And they needed to learn to listen to him. And this is such a great description of the power of worship. You and I worship the same Jesus that the disciples knew all of those years ago, for he is alive and with us today by his Holy Spirit. We need time set aside when we can encounter the living God just as they did, in all his majesty, through our worship. And then we need to shut up and listen to what he has to say. It's why in normal times we gather together on a Sunday to sing and to pray and to hear God's word together. People often talk about mountaintop experiences. These can be all sorts of occasions, usually associated with a great feeling of excitement or wonder or achievement. Climbing to the top of a high hill in a wild place is a great feeling. Being in a stadium when your team wins or a world record is broken, it's thrilling. And that's what worship should be like. God forgive us when it becomes mundane and boring, or when we ignore the invitation to go up the mountain and encounter God in all his glory. In a stadium, people can spend so much time sending tweets or messages or taking pictures to post on Facebook that they don't really stop to appreciate what is happening on the pitch. Or at a concert or in the cinema, people start talking to those next to them about how good the performance or the film is until their friends or others in the audience turn around and tell them to shut up. James and John and Peter were awestruck by what they saw and heard. Peter started talking about what they could do to capture the moment, but he was interrupted by a voice from heaven. It was almost as if God was telling him to shut up, to take notice, and to listen to Jesus. Yes, this wonderful moment, this experience has to end. We couldn't cope with Christmas every day. The pressures of ordinary life pull us back down from the mountaintop experience to face once again the problems and joys of life lived in community. That's why we use the God-given special times to recharge our batteries and renew ourselves for the slog of daily living. Times when we must listen to Jesus' voice calling us to walk with him wherever the journey takes us. All too soon, we will need to return to the lower slopes of our everyday lives, but not until we have seen Jesus in his glory, recognised him as Lord and Saviour, and taken time to properly listen to him. Are we in awe of who Jesus is? Are we in awe of our beautiful, powerful and righteous King, the only one worthy of our worship? Do we think of Jesus and exclaim, oh, wow? One day the Bible tells us that Jesus will return in all his glory. We will see him on that day like the disciples did up that mountain. And we will all be bowing down to him in worship. But until that day comes, we have the chance to practice. That's why we sing and pray. That's why we gather, even only if virtually at the moment, to recognise Jesus as our God. And as we do, we should allow the words and the music and the poetry and the prayer and everything in the world around us to make us go, oh, wow! To draw us into worshipping the one who made all things and who is even more, oh, wow, than anything we can possibly imagine. And that's what we're going to do right now, to worship together. Now, I'm going to invite you, wherever you are in your own rooms, to join in. If you're on your own, that could be easy. No one's going to be disturbed by what you do. So I'm going to say, sing out at the top of your voice, join in with everything that we're about to see and hear. If there are others around you, it might be more difficult, but hey, why not sing and dance if you like, as though nobody is watching? Because this is about allowing ourselves the time and space to recognise who Jesus is, our Lord and our King, to come into his presence and offer our worship. I'm going to suggest you use the words, the images, everything that happens now in the next little while to worship together with others. Don't be embarrassed, don't be shy. Now, I know you can go away at this point. You could go off and make a cup of tea. You could fast forward through this bit because it's boring. But let's not miss the chance to come before our awesome Saviour and offer him the best we have to offer in our lives as we worship him. It's what we are made to do.